Well, it's time now for that man everybody loves and appreciates, Tom Joyner, one of the most popular broadcasters in the state of North Carolina, one of the most popular broadcasters in the nation, for that matter. So, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the great Tom Joyner.
Well, you know, Carl, some news lingers with us, and we have to continue to come back to it again and again. We begin today with the latest news on the deal with Iran that Obama and his Iranian-born Muslim puppeteer, Valerie Jarrett, were determined to sign, even as Iran's leaders called for death to America. Within a day of the signed agreement, the Ayatollah said that Iran would not be changing its ways, that they will continue to seek the death of Israel, and that the nuclear inspections that Kerry and Obama told us would be unencumbered simply will not take place in certain locations, that Iran would receive 24 days notice of any inspection, and that they reserved the right to deny inspections unless it suited them. John Kerry told Congress that if they did not approve this deal he and Obama sold us out with, he would look bad, Kerry, to the Ayatollah. Meanwhile, the Iranian president told the world that America had been defeated at the table. John Kerry responded to the Ayatollah's remarks by telling us he was troubled by the statements. Why? Iran issued the same rhetoric throughout the so-called talks. Kerry was not troubled enough to refuse to sign the deal. This bad deal assures Iran of a clear path to nuclear capability, and that other countries in the region, such as Saudi Arabia, has to buy the technology to arm themselves with nuclear weapons to deter Iran. The Middle East, already a power keg, will hold the power to destroy the world. Obama promised, when Congress approved talks with Iran, that he would not go to the UN with a signed deal before he brought it to Congress. Obama lied again. And he rushed the deal to the UN, where our enemies were all too willing to drop sanctions against Iran. The pressure, then, is on Congress to approve this sellout of America and Israel, or vote to stop the deal in this country. Obama would no doubt veto Congress, but then we can have the man on the record and make note of any in Congress who do not vote to override the veto. Iran, by the terms of this bad deal, would have the opportunity to call the agreement null and void due to America's failure to approve it. This, after Obama's actions at the UN, would see the sanctions against Iran dropped by the other countries in the UN and the release to Iran of billions of dollars, which it will no doubt use to back terrorism and speed up their development of nuclear weapons. We're also told that one and possibly two side deals were made with Iran, which are classified as confidential, to be kept from the eyes and the ears of the American people. Obama's stooge, Susan Rice, acknowledged the side deals, but assured us that they, meaning the Obama administration, were satisfied. So much for the promises of transparency. Kerry and Obama tell us that the U.S. can always step back in and levy sanctions, but Iran will have already received the billions of dollars they desperately need, and the U.N. will never, believe me, folks, they will never agree to renew sanctions against Iran. There is no end to the monstrous lies of the Obama administration. I'd like you to make your voice heard to your representatives in Congress, Republican and Democrat. Tell them that if they side with Obama, they are siding against the best interests of America, and that you will respond at election time. Don't shout. Don't swear. Keep an even voice when you call or write to them. This is a matter of life and death, all within 10 years or less. Count on less. Trusting Iran is akin to asking a crackhead to give you correct change. Consider that at least we now have the ability to make Obama take responsibility for his actions, something that Harry Reid prevented while in charge of the Senate. More than 300 times, Reid simply blocked the bills that came to his desk in order to keep Obama from having to be held responsible for his actions. That allowed Obama's re-election and its blood on the hands of Harry Reid, the worst and most devious Senate Majority Leader in our country's history. Now, it's occurred to me that some of our children and all of our grandchildren are growing up with no idea of the America we adults knew. They will inherit a far more dangerous world, and in many ways, they have their hands tied behind their backs when it comes to defending themselves and their country. For more than 51 years, I've been on radio, television, and now the Internet, and for 48 of those years, I have warned the communists and other anti-American elements to not be hidden. They were patiently waiting for us to destroy ourselves from within. That's not my original idea. Abraham Lincoln gave us the same warning before being shot dead by an anarchist, John Wilkes Booth. Our enemies, and there are many, enlisted those they refer to as useful idiots. Americans who could be easily converted to critics of their own country. Liberals went for the trap like El Toro chasing a matador. They began to undermine this country with demands for overregulation by government, to social programs that threaten our economic lives, to environmental regulations that chose a tiny snail darter over human beings. The liberal element, while claiming to be tolerant, began shooting down those who did not agree with them by verbal attacks. And they brought upon us a severe case of political correctness, whereby more and more words could no longer be uttered. The mainstream media joined in to put forth the news they agreed with and to minimize or strangle the news with which they did not agree. The black race in America saw their accomplishments shunted aside by a Democrat Party led by Lyndon Johnson that came to realize that the tactics they had been using to suppress blacks would no longer give them the leverage they needed with black voters. This party fought against civil rights with the vigor of a mad dog. They formed the Ku Klux Klan to intimidate and frighten black people into submission. The Republican Party was formed in order to head off the racist marching behind the donkey. Lyndon Johnson convinced Democrats the black vote could be decisive in years to come, and that they should reverse their course sharply and aim instead to take away the incentive for personal responsibility from black Americans. He said that Democrats, and listen carefully, would have those, and he used the N-word here, would have those, N-word, voting Democrat for 200 years. Where hard-working, honest black Americans had been building thriving neighborhoods coming out of slavery, LBJ and racist Democrats led them onto the political plantations through a series of social programs that have grown more expensive and more expansive for the last 50 years. The result was to halt black personal responsibility and progress in favor of dependency upon government. Free food, subsidized housing, free health care, free breakfast and lunch for the kids enjoying a free vacation, and evolved into silliness with free cell phones and free minutes of usage. Today, Obama proposes to give these government dependents free internet service. Now, there's something that comes under the heading of I want, not I need. There are more free goodies that come on the backs of working Americans, black and white, Chicano or Asian. It is an unsustainable burden that will surely crash our economy. The next step, then, was to begin dividing our people. Blacks against whites, rich against poor, female against male, young against the elderly, all part of the effort to crumble our society from within. The best, and I'm afraid the last hope, to break the cycle came when a black man was elected president. Surely Barack Obama would bring us together. He promised to do that while campaigning. But like most of his promises and statements on the campaign trail, it turned out to be lies. Our nation today is more divided than ever. Our country is speedily headed for Armageddon, and the enemies within, along with those who tell themselves they are not our enemies, the liberal, useful idiots who seem not to realize that if America falls, they fall with it. Protesters, liberal whites, and uninformed blacks compete to see which ones can do the most harm to the country. They apparently don't recognize that America is their only hope. Where else would you or those useful idiots rather live? They have no answer. They could move to a country they feel is without the faults of America, but they don't, choosing instead to walk behind hateful placards, spray paint monuments and buildings and railroad cars, attack people of another race through mob action, behave like savages. All of this activity, this very goal, was set out decades ago by communists like Saul Alinsky and Frank Marshall Davis, Obama's biggest mentor. Now, our grandchildren, even our younger children, are growing up in a country our grandparents would not recognize. They will grow up thinking that same-sex marriage has always been normal. Morality isn't important. Where most of us were startled to see a woman in a negligee in the Sears catalog, our young children today will grow up thinking that access to pornography was always available 24/7. Restricting water to farmers to protect rats and tiny fish is more important than having enough food to feed people. They will think that it's the duty of achievers to take care of those who will not take care of themselves. They will think that the greed and corruption in government, state, local, and federal is something to be tolerated. They'll think it normal to hear lie after lie from a politician and yet support them. That militant Islam is not a threat to society. That we should emphasize with our enemies, including ISIS and militant Islamists promising to kill us all. Hillary Clinton suggested that course of action, showing her totally out of touch with reality. Our grandchildren will think that college professors and their anti-American views are just part of education. They will not realize that brainwashing is not education. They will believe that the mainstream media has no duty to be fair and balanced, based what they see and read. Our grandchildren will observe and believe that drug dealers are non-violent and should be kept out of the prison and on the streets. After all, a U.S. president, Barack Obama, made that claim as he pardoned almost 50 drug pushers and released them back to the streets. More and more of our children and grandchildren are not hearing about God and Jesus Christ in our churches because their parents or single parent does not take the time to take them to church or even to drop them off. Instead, they'll be inundated with lies from militant Muslims whose aim is to destroy them unless they deny God and follow Allah and Islam. Left unchanged, our grandchildren will be taught to believe that Islamic terrorists are not terrorists at all, but a series of lone wolves, even when they travel in packs of tens of thousands. They will hear nothing about the violent calls for death for all non-believers in the Quran, but will be exposed to constant attacks against Christians, which cannot be part of the news because it's deemed offensive to followers of Islam. Fewer and fewer Americans are willing to speak the truth about Islamic terrorism, not just because it places them in danger, but because their own fellow Americans heap scorn upon them. Now, I decided a long time ago that I would not deny my God nor my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I would stand up and speak out against the decline of our country and against even the idea of guilt-free Islam. And that has resulted in death threats and vile emails over the years from tolerant liberals. For almost 4 years, I exited the studios of WPTF in Raleigh after my 3 to 6 p.m. broadcast, fully armed and prepared to confront those who made the threats. Would I have shot them? Does a goat like garbage? We are told there are many peaceful Muslims, and it's no doubt true that there are many who wrestle with their conscience. But how can someone follow the Quran, the Bible of Islam, and not heed the repeated calls for death to non-believers? It is not just those who swing the sword, but those who remain silent while the sword is being swung. Islam was born through the sword. They will either live or die by the sword or put us to death. Our grandchildren and their children will be divided against one another, black against white, and believe that it's just the way things have always been and shall be. With time, they'll be led to believe that blacks were the only people who suffered from slavery, when in fact far more Europeans suffered under slavery, and that it was blacks in Africa who fed the slave trade, and a black man in America, Anthony Johnson, who went to court and set precedent by having the court rule that he could own another man for life, thereby establishing slavery by law in America. Now, liberals cheer the removal of all symbols of the southern states. They call for the removal of memorials. History cannot be changed by attacking people more than 100 years dead, and it serves only to divide us further. Now, if we go back into history far enough, we will find that all races, creeds, and colors have things that they would regret today. That includes the self-righteous liberals and black anarchists who ignore the actions of their own ancestry while keeping a steady drumbeat against white Americans. Protest pays. Money from the George Soros types feed the anarchy we see on our streets. All of this was envisioned decades ago by our enemies who saw that America would not fall to outside forces, but could be taken down by useful idiots on the inside. We have allowed all of these things to fester far too long. We need to pray for our children and grandchildren and pray that the insanity of liberalism is exposed for the insanity it is and spreads. And I turn back again today on the issue of Planned Parenthood because it just won't go away. The name itself is misleading because there is no parenthood involved with babies that have been murdered in the womb. Undercover videos have brought to light that organization's evil actions. The two Planned Parenthood officials on those videos speak for themselves, both cavalierly and at ease, freely discuss how the parts of the baby's heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, and more brings in money to Planned Parenthood from people involved in research. They sip wine while speaking of ways to kill these babies in a style that is less crunchy, so that more parts can be extracted. Planned Parenthood claims that they're just trying to recoup the costs associated with the slaughter of millions of babies, but the exchange of money for body parts is against our laws, and rightly so. The truth is that the great majority of abortions in this country are for the convenience of men and women who created the baby but want no responsibility to raise it. A woman pregnant from rape, incest, or the danger to her own health should be rated an exception, but only if they act quickly before the baby is basically formed in the womb. Democrats recently voted unanimously in the Senate, unanimously, to endorse abortion rights through the 9th month of pregnancy, even up to the day before the baby is born. No sane person can argue that at that late stage it is not a fully formed human being that's being murdered in a heinous fashion. Democrat leader Debbie Wasserman Schultz has said that babies should also be aborted after their birth. Clearly the murder of a human being. And many liberal Democrats agree with this ignorant woman's statement. You and I are contributing the money necessary for Planned Parenthood to carry out their assault against the creation of life. Our government takes $500 million from our tax payments each year to give to Planned Parenthood. That makes you and I culpable in the killing of these babies. Not one, five, or 100, but millions of babies murdered yearly. Their body parts sold by Planned Parenthood to fund their quest to maximize abortions. The great majority of these abortions are of black babies. The great majority. At a time when black people are protesting that black lives matter, burning stores they've looted and attacking police, they turn a blind eye to the massive slaughter of their own race. The truth is, Planned Parenthood was the brainchild of a woman named Margaret Sanger. Please listen carefully. Sanger was a dedicated racist who envisioned that we have today the slaughter of the black race. She said that black people are like weeds. They need to be exterminated. Her outrageous, racially charged statements are a part of history. And yet the mainstream media does not see value in reporting her determination to kill those she deemed unfit. Margaret Sanger advised that black ministers should be enlisted to calm the fears of the black population while the extermination moved forward. That brings to mind Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and perhaps the greatest racist of all, Louis Farrakhan, among a few others. These self-proclaimed leaders of the black community have gotten very wealthy themselves at the expense of poor and middle-class black Americans. They have diverted the attention from the slaughter of black babies and the decline of black families through dependence upon government handouts by stoking verbal fires against white America as the greatest threat to black America. When, in fact, it is these wealthy black agitators and groups like Planned Parenthood who themselves offer the greatest threat to black America. Think about it. Was there more or less racism in America in the early 1900s or today? The answer is, of course, the early 1900s, when the Democrat-formed Ku Klux Klan was terrorizing black Americans. Still, black America was moving forward as they came out of slavery. These brave people knew the value of families staying together, of educating their children, of hard work, and they created thriving neighborhoods with shops and banks and other vocations to pick themselves up by their bootstraps. And I have great respect for those early black Americans and what they accomplished. Today, most, if not all, of those accomplishments are overlooked by their descendants as they blindly follow race agitators and refuse to see who combined to leave them dependent upon government handouts. I find it ironic that liberal Democrats call for a Confederate general and his wife to be dug up from their graves and relocated because they were part of the Confederacy, while they completely ignore West Virginia's most publicized senator, Robert Byrd, and his service in the Ku Klux Klan. No call to dig Byrd up, or any other Democrats who fought against civil rights until they saw that black votes could be better garnered, not by terrorizing blacks, but making them powerless through government dependency. I'd like you to write or call your congresspersons and tell them to cut off taxpayer funding to Planned Parenthood. In hearing this, you know that Planned Parenthood is slaughtering innocent babies, and those who do not speak up are supporting the actions of this vile agency. If there are people out there who want to help Planned Parenthood murder the unborn, that is their decision. But to take money in taxes from those of us who do not want to help in this continued slaughter is unconscionable. Now, lastly, after Barack Obama was reelected, his closest advisor, the Iranian-born and devoted Muslim Valerie Jarrett, said they no longer had to back up or be concerned about Congress because there was no further reason to be concerned with what the Congress or the American people thought about their agenda. They weren't up for re-election again. Jarrett vowed that Obama would use his last term to ram through his agenda, even as many of his executive orders have violated the Constitution. We will see in the waning months of Obama's role that his prior actions to bring down and fundamentally change America were only the beginning. Unrestrained now that the voters have no way to stop his assault on America, his agenda and that of his closest advisor, the rabid Muslim Valerie Jarrett, Obama will step up his unconstitutional actions to our detriment. It may be too late to save this country, but we do have to try. Congress can take away the money that Obama needs to do his damage, and we must demand that they do so. To do less is to doom our children and grandchildren to life as a third world country and expose them to the inevitable nuclear destruction of the world as we know it. God has blessed America, and it is up to each of us now to preserve America. Carl?
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Tom. It now appears, Tom, that the disability benefits is in trouble. Now, that's if Congress does not act. People receiving Social Security disability benefits could see a nearly 20% cut to payments at the end of next year, according to the latest version of the Social Security Trustees report released on Wednesday. Got a couple minutes up there, Tom. What do you say to that?
Well, I think they're going to move, Carl, because they have to, not because they necessarily want to. But isn't it ironic that we never hear that welfare is going to run out of money? I find that very ironic.
Me too. Well, Tom, it's absolutely astounding, and you've done a great, great commentary today. Everywhere I go, people tell me how much they enjoy your commentaries, and they just get better and better as time goes on.
I appreciate it very much, Carl. I put a lot of work into this because it's important. I have a daughter that I dearly love, a son-in-law that I respect, two grandchildren, girls who are bright, beautiful, who have great hearts, who deserve to live a life better than that which I had. And we can't just sit by and let these things go on. Most people just don't want, they get a headache just trying to keep up with what all's going on. We can't allow that headache to consume us all.
Amen. Tom, thank you for a great report today, and we'll see you again real soon.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it very much, and God bless America.